2 Kings 5 is a familiar story. I wondered if the Lord, you know, we're going through the Old Testament books and trying to deal with what we thought the Lord may have spoken from in that, on that road to Emmaus. He mentioned Naaman. The Lord mentioned Naaman when he went to Nazareth, remember? He said there were many lepers in the day of Elijah, and he saved one, Naaman, the Syrian. So he perhaps spoke about this. 2 Kings 5, it says verse 1, Naaman is captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man, well known, with his master. And before his king, and honorable before his master. And because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Naaman was a great man as far as men are concerned. He was honorable, he was a man of valor and bravery, and he did great things, but really he didn't do anything. The Lord did it. Didn't he? So he was well known, he was famous, he was a man of valor and honorable and esteemed highly by all, a mighty man, but he was a leper. And the same is true for every human being by nature. We live in a leper colony, this world. You know what? Every single human being, us, our children, all of us, are born in sin. Leprosy, as you know, we've talked about it many times. It was a disease that the flesh became rotten and stinking and vile and just obnoxious. Flesh. You know that's what God says about flesh? No matter how it appears to men, like old Naaman here. Naaman was covered. He had his garments on, he had his medals on, he had his helmet on, he had all this covered up, his leprosy. And so do men and women, the young people. You may have a good-looking facade on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And the heart, God says about the heart, is desperately wicked and leprous. God looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. Psalm 14. He said, there's none. He said, they're altogether become filthy before God. We live in a leper colony. Mandy and I were watching a movie the other night, and it seemed like it would be a good movie. It was about an inner city basketball team, and this coach was trying to instill some virtue in these hoods, you know. These proud, you know, rebel young men that thought they were something. They were nothing. They were vile. And this man was trying to instill some virtue in them, trying to get them to go to school and all this and that and the other. Well, anyway, the course of that movie, you know, they would go out, these boys and girls, and they'd all go out to these parties. And it was just vile, you know. The music playing, it was evocative and provocative, and they're all bumping and grinding and all that stuff. It reminded me of that ball of worms that I bought that time, a writhing and wriggling mass of corruption. That's the world we live in. That's what's normal, young people, just crawling all over each other like filthy worms. And that's the way God sees this planet. Do you want that? And it's no wonder God's going to burn this place up. It's filthy. It's filthy. We need washing. Our children need their minds and hearts washed. No matter how we look to others, God knows our thoughts, knows our hearts. Well, in verse 2, the Syrians had captured a nation and people and taken captive Israel. And they took a little maid captive. So she was in the midst of this, and she was captive. She knew the Lord. You know, we're captives, aren't we? We're here. And I want out. Yeah. I don't want a part of that. I was in that. The Lord delivered me out of that. He really did. Such were some of you, but you're washed. See, I know a lot about what's going on today because I was right in the thick of it, boys and girls, men and women. I was right in the thick of it. Weren't we, brother? And it's a miracle. It's God's mercy and grace to bring you out of that. Salvation. But I'm still in it. I'm still bombarded with it. I'm still seeing it. I'm still enticed and tempted by it. I want out. But I'm captive to this world somewhat. I'm in the flesh. But I know... I know someone, that prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to save to the uttermost. Those who call upon Him, come nigh unto Him. And she said to her mistress, verse 3, would God, if God would. If only God would. He can. It's completely up to Him, if He will. He can. Will he? He said, call. He said, ask. Would God, she said, would God that my Lord, speaking of Naaman, were with the prophet. She said, the prophet. Apparently, Elisha at this time, Elijah had gone up a chariot of fire, horses of fire to heaven. And he put his mantle on Elisha. God has not left Himself without a witness in any generation. He has His preacher, true preacher. But apparently there was only one. It's right. It's true. Elijah said that himself. Lord, I'm the only one. When Elijah was there. And the Lord said, no. No, you're not. But you think you are. And you're where you are, you're the only one. But Elisha was the only one. And she said, would God, that my master, that Naaman was with the prophet. There's only one. And if he could just go where he is, he would heal, deliver him from that leprosy. There's only one. And if only he could go where he is and hear him, and the Lord would heal him through the prophet. You know, she was a witness, and that's what we are. That's what we are. We've been called to be witnesses unto our Lord. We've been called to tell others where we found mercy and grace and salvation. You know, they're not going to be healed. They're not going to be saved unless they hear the gospel. That prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Elisha represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not everywhere. I'm not being proud or presumptuous, but I've been here a long time now. And I've been, haven't we, Brother Stephen? Long time. And listened to these people all around us, these so-called preachers. And I've been in on it. I've heard them. I look at their signs, their billboards and all that. The truth is just not anywhere, is it? I see mostly blasphemy. And people laughing and mocking and playing games and mocking God. God's not mocked. But He has His true preachers. He has a few places here and there where the gospel is, the truth is, the only truth, the way, the truth, the life, where people can be saved if only. Would God that our neighbors and our spouses would go where the Lord Jesus Christ really is. When's the last time you've talked to somebody? When's the last time you brought somebody here to the gospel? And not going to be saved unless they hear this gospel. Is that right?
Yes.
This is the gospel. There is no other. Oh, would God. As He's able to say, that they got to hear this gospel. So someone went in and told Naaman that, thus and thus said the maid. King of Syria, his boss, Naaman's boss, who he worked for, king of Syria, wanted him to be healed too. So he gave him 10 talents of silver, silver and gold, and changes of raiment, and sent him to the king of Israel. Okay? He gave him silver and gold and a new covering, and sent him to the king, the highest man in the land. Go to him. Wrong person. That's not what she said. There's one person that can heal Naaman. And there's only one person that can heal those who need saving. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't go to man. We don't go to this place or that place. We go where Christ is, where the gospel is. Doesn't matter how great the person is. Doesn't matter how famous the person is. God's prophet was a man living pretty much in obscurity. God's people knew him. But the rest of Israel had nothing to do with it. You know? They had nothing to do with it. Elijah, remember, was the prophet in Israel. And there were 850 false prophets. And he went up against them. Remember? Started to preach on that. 1 Kings 18. Really? Only one prophet against 800? Really? And the percentage is much higher now. Or less now. It's a fact. Our Lord said in the last day, many false prophets have gone out. Many. And our Lord said, warned. He said in Matthew 7, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, we preached in the name of Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that. That's not His name. Myron used to say, Jesus doesn't say, the Lord Jesus said. If he's just a man, he can't save anybody. Salvation's of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord's the beginning. How do I know there's so many false prophets? Because they're just calling Him Jesus. And they're asking people what they're going to do with Jesus. And they're trying to get people to accept Jesus and let Jesus in their heart. That's a false gospel. Nobody is saved under that. They've got a false refuge. And I'm not mad at you, but I just hate it. I hate it for people. They're butchering souls. If people are saved, they're going to hear, first thing they're going to hear is the Lord on His throne. Amen. Bow! Here's where old Naaman came. Look at me. Aren't you glad to see me? I come to church. Surely God's glad to see me. No, He's not. What's He need with a leper? There's a million others just like you. Worms. What's the Lord need with worms? That's what men are telling people. Jeremiah 23, they're saying to them that despise me. That's what God said. They're saying to them that despise me, no evil shall befall you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. He loves you so much. He wants to save you if you'll let Him. That's not God. Nobody's saved by that. They're damned by that. They're going to go right in the face of God someday, thinking they're all right, and going to be shocked to hear Him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Imagine the look on Billy Graham's face when he saw Him as He is. Well, he went to the wrong place and he took the wrong thing. We're not redeemed with silver and gold. or corruptible things, or our vain conversation. We're not saved by changing our habits or changing our raiment, are we? We need a change of raiment, all right. We need a covering, all right, but we can't produce it. And people get religious, don't they? And Isaiah said, Isaiah 64:6, he said, all our righteousnesses are filthy rags, menstruous cloths. That's what God said. That's what God says about what man makes up and covers himself in and the religion of mankind. That's what God says. It's a menstruous cloth. And isn't that gross? It's not as gross as the way God sees this planet. We need washing. I mean, washing. We need to strip and be dipped. Like old Naaman. Well, here he came. And it's 7, verse 8. Elisha, the man of God, heard, and here's what he told him. Let him come to me. Let him come to me. He'll know. If he come to me, he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. Does this sound familiar? Let him come unto me. Go nowhere else. There is none other. Nor the prophet, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Let him come to me. Bring him. There's a man crying for you. Bring him to me. And buddy, if people are brought to Christ, if they do come to Christ, if they see his glory, if they hear his voice, they're going to know that there's a God, one God, and one Lord, and one Savior, one way, one truth, one life. They're going to know. Salvation is of the Lord. Well, so Naaman came, verse 9, he came with his horses and his chariot and stood. I think he's on his horse, in his chariot, standing in his chariot, outside the prophet's door. And there he stood, you know, with all his medals on, his helmets and all that, and all his finery and everything. He's all covered up. And people probably, when he's coming into Israel there, and all the people see him, think, oh, look, there's Naaman. Ooh, Naaman. Who was it? Were you and I talking about all these famous people today, all these rock stars and music stars and sports celebrities and all that. They ain't worth crossing the street for. They wouldn't give you the time of day. You know that? Man glories in man. Man bows to and makes idols of rotten creatures, mankind, and nobody's got any use for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. People go see a filthy, vile rock star and they wouldn't come see the Lord Jesus Christ for nothing. Right there's depravity. You want to know what depravity is? They idolize a vulture and have no use for the spotless, holy Son of the Most High God. They'll go hear noise. They won't come hear the good news. Don't need it. Old leper, old Naaman, he's a leper, but apparently he doesn't think he's that bad. You know, he must not. Well, I got a few spots here and there. You remember the story in Leviticus 13? The only ones that were healed were the ones that recovered from head to toe. If you just had a few spots, the priest kept saying, you're unclean, unclean. Unclean. But if some fellow was coming, he's dying. He knows he's dying. He knows that if somebody doesn't cleanse me, I'm dead. And he said, the one that said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, there's no soundness in my flesh. I am a leper. You know what lepers were supposed to do back then? They were supposed to be separate from the people and cry, unclean, unclean. You know what everybody that says, unclean? Well, here, the Lord's going to, everybody that knows that, that feels that, just smells himself. The Lord will bring them to Christ, and he will say, and he's the only one that can, he will pronounce you clean. If we confess our sins, he that saith he hath no sin is called God a liar, and he's lying to himself, he's fooling himself. And he that does, he's just and able to deliver us from all unrighteousness. Yes, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. It really does. Like I told you, you're looking at one of those writhing, wriggling, massive worm. Here I am now, clothed and in my right mind. I was out of my mind, young people, out of my mind. Blindly following my generation into the pit. And I thought I was something. Now, here again with his horses and his chariots. Why does the scriptures talk so much about horses and chariots? That's all they had back then. Scripture says a horse is a vain thing for safety. But horses and chariots, back then they had chariots. It's not much different than I had a 55 Chevy. Yeah, I did. You ain't never had one, have you? Big deal. It's like that, I like that George Strait song. He said, I got a car. You're going to impress that girl. You know what? I got a car. Whoa. I remember thinking, you know, didn't we, Stephen? We ride around in our cars. We think, boy, I am something. Look at me. I got this. Didn't we, Martin? Martin was a gearhead. I got a Malibu. Woo, really? Big deal. You know, those things that I was enamored with, I was totally taken with. I was proud. People are proud of. Young people are proud of. Old people are proud of. You see these old people riding their Harleys. They live to ride and ride to live, and they're going to die riding. And they're going to die without Christ. You got people in their, you know, these classic cars. It's their life. And it was mine. But God. And now how I look at, you know how I look at them now? I might say, that's pretty, but I might say, just a hunk of metal. It's going to rust. Moths and rust are going to corrupt. Thieves are going to break through and steal. It's nothing. It's vanity. A horse is a vain thing for safety, and a horse is a vain thing. A car is a vain thing to be proud of. My, everybody got one. You know, if you look down on this world, you ever been in an airplane? You look down on this world and see it as it is. The finest, you know, you travel over the ocean, you see all these multi-million-dollar mansions. They're on sand. They're built on the sand. What's it going to take? Top of that, one big wave. You see all these horses. You can't distinguish the Triple Crown winner from a mule. Can't distinguish them. They all look the same. They are. Worthless. Vanity. And the Lord and man takes security in, takes pride in all his inventions. Scripture's talked a lot about inventions. It said they provoked God with all their inventions. They need saving. Well, Elisha, verse 10, sent a messenger. He didn't even come out of the house. He did not come out of the house. He stayed in the house. Here came Naaman, the leper, outside, and he's standing there in his chariot. He's waiting on him, the prophet, to come to him. He didn't come to him. Those men, those Greeks, came and said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." They didn't see him. He didn't give them an audience. Now, if you want to come and you want to sit at the feet of of the Master, the Lord. This is what Philip and all of them found out. They said, Master, where do you dwell? Andrew, that's what the Master, where do you dwell? He said, come see you. But Naaman thought, he's going to be glad to see me. He sent a messenger. Naaman saw this little fellow, and then we don't know his name. Doesn't say his name because it's not important. He's not the messenger's nothing. He's just a voice. And so he came out, this messenger. What did he look like? Probably not much. And he came out with a message, a simple message, one thing. He came out and told Naaman one thing. Look at verse 10. And this is what Elisha told him to say. Go, tell him to go and wash in the Jordan seven times, and his flesh will come again clean, and thou shalt come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Tell him to go down into that old Red River and wash seven times. Keep going down, 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 down in the muddy Red River Jordan. Get down. Take all your clothes off. Take your medals off. Take everything off that you're covered with. Everything you're proud of. And go down. And get in that muddy, muddy water like a tadpole, like the worm that you are. And you know what? If you do that, if the Lord will break your heart, if the Lord will show you that you really are a leper, if the Lord will show you that there really is one way, if He does, you know what will happen if you do? You'll come clean. You'll come up out of there a newborn person. You know, it's still the message. It's still the message. Naaman didn't like that. I'm not that bad. I don't need to get it down. He said, I thought. Look at it, verse 11. Naaman was wroth and went away. He said, I thought he'd come out to me. I thought he'd be glad to see me. I thought he'd come out and wave his hand over and go through some ceremony and all that wouldn't humiliate me. And strike and call on the name of the Lord, his God. I thought he'd call on his God, Naaman. You're going to call on your God. He's your God too. You just don't know it. And you're going to call on your God. I thought. And that's what's wrong with man, I thought. There's an old black preacher preached a message one time. The title of it was, It Ain't Like You Thought It Was. God ain't like man thinks he is. Christ, Jesus Christ is not like men think he is. Man's not like he think he is. Salvation's not like man thinks it is. Salvation's like God says it is. God is like God says he is. Jesus Christ is like the scripture says he is. And man is exactly what God says he is. A nothing and a nobody. A worm. A maggot. And God doesn't need him. And nobody deserves a chance to be saved. Nobody. Not even our children. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, he went away. Mad. I love old Brother Barnard used to say, preach in such a way. And he did, Barnard. People hated him. One time, he'd been beaten up many times. Many times. Back in the 40s, 50s, he'd been beaten up and run out of town. Threatened, his life threatened. He said, preach. He told my preacher when my dad first heard the gospel, and, you know, dad was one of those tickle your ears Armenian preacher, telling everybody God loves you and all that. But God sent an evangelist. God sent a preacher named Rolf Barter. Tore up that religious playhouse. 1,000 members and Pollard Baptist Church. And Dad was a young, upcoming Saul of Tarsus, you know. And God broke his heart, split that church right down the middle. And Barnard told this young preacher now, who's going to start trying to preach the truth, he said, preach in such a way, preach so clearly, preach God so high on the throne, and Christ as the sovereign Christ, and man so low in the dirt. Preach in such a way that people get mad. Nobody ever loved the truth when they first heard it back then, except publicans in Ireland. Preach in such a way that men will get mad, sad, or glad. You know what? If God has mercy, somebody gets mad. Most people do. If God has mercy on that person, you know what they'll get after that? Sad. They'll get sad. This is what happened to Naaman. He went away and they told him, if he told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? You're a leper. You're not going to be. There's one way. He said, there's one way. You have to come down on strip before everybody. Let everybody see what you really are. And get down in that red river. Why was everybody baptized in the Jordan? Because it was always overflowing its back. It's a rut. A red river. It was red, running red with mud all the time. Why? Why is a Red Sea? Why did all of God's people pass through a Red Sea? Because it represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What destroyed the Egyptians saved the Jews. It was a wall of them. They went through on dry ground. How? Under the blood. On dry ground. Red River. And old Naaman said, well, Farpar Baptist Church wouldn't make me do that. Abbott the Methodist Church, they would, that's a pretty little place, nice little place. That preacher down there didn't tell me I had to do that. He was glad to see me. Well, are you a leper? Yeah, I still am. And get down. Strip. And dip. You know, by doing that before everybody, he's confessing. He's stripping, and everybody's seeing him now. You're not. You. They all beheld him stripping those medals and all that off. They all beheld him as he walked down that bank. Maybe he slipped and fell, and he's just humiliated, you know. He's a leper. He's going to die. Is pride worth dying for? So he goes down. He strips and everybody goes, well, we thought he was a great man. He's just like us. The servants, he's just like us. And he says, I know it. And I've been covering all this time and covering it. I'm a leper. He went down. Came back up. Muddy water in his ears. He went down. He came back up. He went down again. I'm not clean. Down. He kept dipping. He said, I need to keep dipping. You know, this seven times. Why seven times? Because the work of Christ is a perfect work. That patience ever a perfect work. And you know, if the Lord saves us and our children, it's going to be a continual humiliating process. A humbling process. All our lives, the Lord is bringing us down. Down. And if the Lord doesn't bring you down. Now. Your soul's in danger. And we're going to be down until, and Naaman dipped seven times. Until finally, until finally Joseph, he had mud in his ears, in his eyes, in his mouth. He could taste the filth all around him. He just felt like a filthy, filthy person. He could taste it. He was so filthy he could taste it. He could smell that old river mud. You ever been in a muddy It's awful. It's filthy. After seven times, he came up and he thought, I'm just filthy. Now you're clean. Now, finally, would God bring us and our children down to see ourselves as we are? Because if He does, we're going to come up. He's going to bring us up out of the mire, out of the filth, out of this river, and out of this cesspool, out of this slime pit called planet Earth, and present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable. God to it for them and for us. Ask Him to, would you? Only one hope.